So good afternoon, everybody. For those of you in the room who know me, you're probably wondering, what am I doing talking about proteomics? Believe me, I feel a little bit that way too. This was a part of McKamey Pruitt's master's thesis, where she worked on called tolerance in soja grass. And this project in particular is a labor of love of several different groups, including Michelle DaCosta's group in UMass, Aaron Patton at Purdue, and then the Plant Sciences Unit with the USDA ARS in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I don't need to praise soja grass. We all know what a great grass it is, right? And we also understand that it has some weaknesses, one of which is the relatively lack of cold tolerance. And of course, among worst season grasses, it does have relatively good cold tolerance, but if we try to push it further up in north of the transition zone, it could definitely use a little bit of improvement in cold tolerance. What we know about winter injury in soja grass, we know that it varies widely, not only between species, but even within species, there are some variations in how genotypes respond to pre-tolerance. We know that cold acclimation is a process that takes plants that takes place when plants are exposed to low but non-freezing temperatures, right? And it has been reported that it helps increase freeze tolerance in warm season grasses. In soja grass in particular, several studies have shown that plants that are cold acclimated have significantly better response to freezing temperatures than cold acclimated plants, than non-acclimated plants, excuse me. But the physiological changes of what exactly happens during cold acclimation that helps plants to survive freezing is not really well understood. In soja grass, Aaron Patton, that should read 2007, not 2017. I'm sorry, Aaron. He did quite a bit of work in trying to understand, you know, what are the compounds that play a role in cold acclimation. Today, I'm just going to talk about his work on protein analysis. He used SDH page and immunoblotting to try to see what was the cow protein composition changed in response to cold acclimation. And what he found was that buffer soluble proteins were higher in cold acclimated plants in comparison to non-acclimated plants, but there were few differences in polypeptide composition among genotypes, regardless of what acclimation treatment they were exposed to. The one thing that he found is that dehydrogen polypeptides increased during cold acclimation, and there was one in particular, one dehydrin, the 23 kilodalton one, that correlated very well with freezing tolerance, and actually it was upregulated in genotypes that were known to have better freeze response. So we decided to take these one step further and use proteomic approaches, going to go a little bit more in depth and use proteomic approaches to try to understand what are the bases for what happens during cold acclimation and how that affects freezing tolerance. And for that, we looked at protein changes in acclimated versus non-acclimated Meyer's soja grass, which we know is like the most freeze tolerant soja grass there is in the market right now, versus Victoria, which has very bad freeze tolerance, right? It's one of the most freeze susceptible. So the idea was to identify proteins that accumulate during cold acclimation and that might explain or have a very important role in freeze tolerance. And ultimately, as a breeder, I'm interested in these because I want to look for possible targets for selection, right? Like I want to try to find a way to improve the efficiency in breeding for cold tolerance. So what we did, we looked at Meyer versus Victoria. These were grown in containers in the greenhouse. This was part of a larger free study that McKamey did, but for the proteomic study, we just looked at Meyer and Victoria. We had three replications of the study, and we had two different treatments. Acclimated, where the plants were put in a grow chamber for 4 weeks, 8 and 2 degrees, day-night cycles, with a 10-hour photo period. And then the non-acclimated plants, they just remain in the greenhouse for those same four weeks, and the greenhouse was approximately at 27 degrees. So after the acclimation treatments, two containers of each Meyer and Victoria were selected randomly from the larger trial, and were sampled to just take the crown. We cut them 2 centimeters above and below the crown, and then those two containers were bulked together. and they were frozen in liquid nitrogen. Then they were lyophilized and then stored in a desiccator until it was time to send them to UMass for protein analysis. So from this part on, this has been work done in Michelle's lab for protein extraction and separation. For extraction, they use the protocol of Xu et al., which has been used in turf grasses, so it's well adapted for use in soja grass. And then for the protein separation, they do two-dimensional separation, first by charge, by IEF, and then by mass with SDS page. We had three biological reps from the greenhouse study, right? And then out of each one of those, they took three technical reps. So for a total of nine reps, right? Nine per cultivar by acclimation treatment. The spots were visualized using silver staining, and then Melanie software was used to analyze the images. And then out of these, the spots that were found to be significant across all gels were selected for protein identification. And also I should mention that, so there were two criteria for selecting spots for identification. One was that they were significant across all the gels that were evaluated, right? They were very consistent. And then two, they had to have at least a two-fold change between non-acclimated and cold acclimated. The spots were manually excised, and then those were sent for protein identification. And for that, fingerprints were obtained on MALDI-TOF. And those particular fingerprints were, a search was performed against the NCBI non-redundant protein database to identify them. And then the ID was done, it was stringent. They had to have at least two unique peptides, and then the confidence interval that was used was above 95%. They had to be above 95%. So moving on to results, we did the comparison in protein expression. First of all, we wanted to compare non-acclimated versus acclimated, right? Within Meijer, what are the changes that you see in the protein profile once you acclimate Meijer? The same thing for Victoria. What's the difference in protein profile, non-acclimated versus acclimated? And then also comparisons on the two cultivars, right? Once you look at acclimated, what is in Meijer that is not there in Victoria that might explain why you have the differences in response? The results were highly consistent about all the reps, and Michelle Mott wanted me to make the point that these are colorful graphs, but this is silver staining. It's just the software that makes gels look like that. So what did we find? The spots that the total number of spots that we found on the gels is there were 471, and these are the ones, you know, in the two cultivars, the difference between non-acclimated and acclimated, everything that shows up differentially in the acclimated ones. So 471 total. Now out of these, the ones that actually had a two-fold or greater change in expression were selected as, you know, kind of the more significant ones. And then the number gets reduced from the 471 to 64. Those are the 64 that got sent for mass spec. And even from these pictures, you can see that there's kind of an interesting pattern there, right? Meijer is red and Victoria is blue. And you can see that there's a lot more red that is going up and a lot more blue that is going down. And that can be better seen in this slide, where we look at the difference in Meijer, the freeze tolerant, cold acclimated versus non-acclimated. There's a total of 26 proteins, and the vast majority of them are upregulated. And that's kind of what you would expect. But something that was very, very interesting is that in Victoria, most of the proteins that were differentially expressed are actually downregulated. And Michelle thought this was super interesting, and she actually repeated the analysis, and sure enough, she got consistent results, so this is, you know, right. So if you look at what are the functions of proteins that are differentially expressed, regardless of if it's upregulated, downregulated, or what cultivar, this is where they fall. The majority of them are in transcription. There's some that have roles in metabolism, some of them are protein destination and storage, some of them on energy, and then there's other roles too. So looking at specific proteins for the specific cultivars. So if we look at Meijer, there were 8 proteins that were upregulated during cold acclimation. We're still, and I should give you the caveat that this is somewhat fresh data, we're still trying to figure out what exactly we have. We're just scratching the surface and analyzing what might be the biological reasons for what we saw. But some things that pop out as being kind of interesting, spot 64, this is actually one of the ones that was the most, that had the strongest difference in expression. It had a 6.7-fold change. This is a LEA3 protein. It's a chaperone protein, and it's been known to protect proteins and membranes in situations of dehydration. Another one that is kind of interesting is this manganese superoxide dismutase, 1.84-fold change, so almost two, but still significant. This has a role in reducing oxidative stress, so it might be important during cold acclimation when metabolism is kind of going down, but the light levels are still high. Then another one, this MAP kinase 10, threefold change. It plays a crucial role in various biotic and abiotic stresses, and it also has a role in regulating CBF expression. And CBS, for the non-physiologists in the room, including me, is this transcriptional activator that induces expression of cold-regulated genes, and it has a significant role in freeze tolerance, in increasing freeze tolerance. So in Victoria, again, this really interesting pattern where most things are actually down-regulated, we're decreasing expression of proteins. Some of interest, actually this one is one of the two that is increased, is a GA-responsive protein. It's involved in elongation, flowering, stem growth, so kind of like a growth protein. And, you know, one of the possible explanations is that maybe Victoria is continues to spend energy in growth instead of putting it into protection for freezing. One of the ones that is down-regulated, the phytochrome A, it plays a critical role in cold response by sensing changes in light conditions, and this one also promotes CBF gene expression. So if it's going down, it's not really going into protection for cold tolerance, for freeze tolerance. ATPase2, two-fold change, down-regulated. This protein is known to have a role in providing energy for transport across the plasma membrane, and it also is known to play a role in adaptation of plants to stress conditions. If you look at the comparison between Meyer versus Victoria, you know, the ones that are kind of shared between the two, there's three that are upregulated, three that are downregulated, and there's 13 that are differentially responsive to cold acclimation. So concentrating just in the ones that are differentially responsive, looking at what might be of interest, you see that all of these are going up in Meyer and down in Victoria. Some specific ones of interest is the ATP glucose pyrophosphorylase, up in Meyer, down in Victoria. This is a key enzyme in starch biosynthesis, so this might have a little bit of explanation of why you see these differential response in the two cultivars. Another one, phospholipase D, is implicated in the activation of cold response, and it has a positive role in freezing tolerance in other studies. And then this photosystem 2 protein, it kind of has a role in giving a better ability to keep photosynthesis going. So it might kind of support energy needed for cold acclimation. So again, we're just scratching the surface on the data that we have, trying to understand exactly what's what, but some preliminary conclusions coming out of these. There's many proteins that were found to be up or down regulated in response to cold acclimation. Kind of as expected, most of them were up regulated in Meyer. In Victoria, very interestingly, most of them were down regulated. These differentially regulated proteins, they have diverse functions, but among some of the most interesting ones in the sense that they might provide an explanation on why one cultivar is resistant and why the other one is susceptible. Starch biosynthesis pathway, CBF regulation, that's a big one, reducing oxidative stress, activation of cold response, and also membrane protection. So we still need to confirm accumulation patterns of these cold responsive proteins via Western blotting and see what we get out of that. Last but not least, I want to acknowledge, I mean, once again, this is a group effort between the USDARS, UMass, Purdue, and NC State. And I want to acknowledge the funding for this project by the USGA, the NC State Turfgrass Center, and also the NC State Plant Breeding Consortium. And with that, I will open the floor for questions. Thank you.
We have time for a question? I just had a question, actually. So is there material now that's more tolerant than Meyer?
No. Right, Aaron? No. Meyer is still the champion of risk tolerance in soja crust. There's nothing that is better.
Okay.
Anybody?
Okay. Thank you very much.